Morning, Andrew.
Hey, Tess. How are you?
I'm going really well. Now, I remember last week we were promised fights in golf club car parks.
Okay, yeah. So, which was just a gross misrepresentation of that book. The plan for today was that we would be speaking about The Book of Ordinary People by Claire Varley. We're not, though. But we will soon, because it is far from an ordinary book. Instead, I wanted to talk about something that concerns the way we read and consume stories more generally. Because if you think about, you know, even if you think you're approaching a new novel or a show or even a movie with kind of fresh eyes, our understanding is always influenced by a range of tropes, cliches, and archetypes. If you think about the final act reveal of the killer.
Yes, yes, the mask coming off in Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. If you think about boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy finds girl again, or say the ugly duckling becoming a swan. Used and used, we recognize these things when we see them pop up in stories. They're all shorthand ways. These tropes are all shorthand ways of fitting a narrative into our existing understanding of the world. But in turn, they help shape our understanding of the world.
Okay, I'm with you.
And these tropes and archetypes, they have the potential to be hugely problematic. I mean, just in the examples that I've given you, we have two instances of women's agency being diminished and an unhealthy focus on appearance. And that's what I wanted to talk about today, when tropes go bad and how to be aware of them. And these thoughts fulminated for me as I caught up on some TV viewing this week. I'm an indifferently regular viewer of the old Black Mirror and am quite behind in most everything. You could almost say I know nothing, but I'd only get that reference because I read the books. So I'm catching up. I've been catching up on BBC's Sherlock.
Oh, yes. So good.
And I've also discovered Luther for the first time. So it's been a real BBC binge. Have you watched either of them?
Sherlock, but not Luther.
Okay. All right. So look, I noticed in both of them a particularly troubling TV trope. It's actually a pop culture trope. It's about now that I should give a huge spoiler warning, both to you, Tess, and to the listeners. If like me, you're several years behind in your TV viewing, have never seen the first season of Luther or the most recent Sherlock, you should probably turn your radio down for the next 5 minutes. But Tess, you can't leave.
I'm stuck here. I'm getting spoiled. Here. I love it.
I'm going to be giving away some huge plot points discussing this trope. And in fact, the fact of this trope means that there will be spoilers for just about anything that I mention.
It's
that sort of trope. So in both the season finale of Luther and the first episode of Sherlock season 4, we find instances of fridging.
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 That's a word I haven't heard.
Okay, yeah. So it's a shorthand for what this trope. If you're not familiar with the term, it was coined in the late 90s by comic book author Gail Simone, and it references an issue of DC's Green Lantern from 1994. In the story, Green Lantern, I'm just going to call him Green Lantern, we're not going to go into character names and all that sort of thing. Green Lantern returns home to his apartment to find his girlfriend has been killed by a supervillain and stuffed in his refrigerator.
Oh, so it was actually a fridge.
Yeah, so
good.
Gail Simone started a website called Women in the Fridge to discuss this trope.
Oh my God. Okay, cool.
So the broader implication of the term is to highlight female characters, particularly in comic books, who are killed or otherwise violently treated in a way that seems to operate simply as this character device or this plot device to drive forward the narrative and give the male protagonist sort of a character arc.
We were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, actually, with Nancy Drew, the boys.
Yeah, so, I mean,
Hardy Boys.
That's a perfect example. So, look, the examples are multitudinous throughout popular culture. The term isn't without its controversy, but you're exactly right. So, in the Nancy Drew and Hardy Boys, they kind of got a bit of a reboot update where they were older and they were edgier. But what that meant was, it was in the first episode of the Hardy Boys Case Files, Joe's girlfriend gets killed.
Of course.
And that drives this grittier narrative arc for the males. And yet, for Nancy Drew, she just seemed to get relationship trouble.
I'm glad she didn't end up in a fridge, but sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the idea would be if you inverted it, you would have to kill Ned.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
His name is Ned Nickerson. So, yeah. But yeah, it's not without controversy. And a cursory glance on YouTube, though, it showed me many male tubers bemoaning that male characters do get killed and why must the feminists ruin everything. But that oversimplifies it and it misunderstands what fridging really represents.
Hashtag not all dead female characters.
In the fridge.
In the fridge.
So in Luther, I watched as this long story arc over the first season detailing Luther's marriage breakdown ends with his wife Zoe shot and killed in their family home.
Good.
Okay.
Right.
So Luther's spurred to angry revenge, which is a change from him just being generally angry, and his character is presumably rehabilitated somewhat as a result of his tragic loss, and it even facilitates something of a team-up between Luther and his romantic rival for Zoe's affections.
Okay, all right, yep. I'm with it.
So, you have this controversially angry character who is suddenly given a supposedly good reason for his anger. His anger is somehow redeemed. And the fact that he's angry from now on, I guess we forgive because he's got a reason to be angry. He gets his character arc. He's forced into the dark places and emerges. And Zoe's just dead.
God, yep, okay.
So in Sherlock, in the first episode of season 4 Sherlock, we see an episode with the usual intrigue and deductions end with Watson's super agent wife, Mary, taking a bullet for Sherlock and becoming the catalyst for him to experiment with feelings.
Oh, Sherlock and feelings, good times.
Mm. So I have to say, watching both of these episodes in the space of a week left me more than a little, language warning, pissed off. And now I'm ranting on air about it.
Good. That's a good place to rant, quite frankly.
So what's the problem, you ask? What's the problem the YouTubers are going to ask? Like, a lot of male commentators are asking because, you know, male and female characters die. You know, what's the big deal? It's part of a story. And a story, both stories are set up as, you know, containing violence. So first, there's the relative paucity of female-driven narratives. In a world where we have a predominance of male leads, these strong female characters are really important for representation. I mean, in Sherlock, Sherlock's Mary, or Watson's, Watson's partner Mary, she was being played. They were developing her character as more skillful than Sherlock in many areas. So you've got this sort of amazing counter-protagonist there helping solve crimes. Second, there's the violence. So in a world... In a world where violence is perpetrated by men against women at sort of these epidemic proportions, this trope normalizes that violence. So yes, the fridged women are typically avenged, sometimes are even given a legacy within the storyline, but this pales in comparison to the value of having these characters play out their stories. Hell, if you want to confront the male protagonist, why not continue to challenge them with stronger female heroes that don't align with their particular values? Luther and Sherlock are both incredibly problematic heroes, not in touch with their emotions or not aware of the impact their emotions have. By creating this idea that violence somehow is not okay, but is just a part of life, but it's violence against women, that's sending a really problematic message. And last... certainly not finally, this is not an exhaustive list. Fridging forces women to be the crutch for men's emotional development. Her pain becomes necessary for him to grow. Luther and Sherlock, they're these prime examples of troubled characters in need of personal growth. And the difficulty here is women, and this just isn't in narratives, this is every day. Women are not obliged to do the emotional work for men. They've got enough on their plates. You know, they're fighting the patriarchy.
We do that, yes. Takes up a lot of my time.
By making this emotional work the job of women, it removes agency and responsibility from men. So not only does it kind of create this blamelessness, it also stops men from thinking they should take on this role for themselves. This is not a message we want to send to young men growing up. And if we think about the way young audiences are going to consume pop culture, comic books and bingeable shows, we're sending a message that emotional work is someone else's job, specifically 50% of the population who are already experiencing historical lack of privilege. This is a huge issue. So I shouldn't pretend that this is just an issue of male versus female. This is an issue that people of colour face. This is an issue that the LGBTQIA plus community faces. This forcing of emotional work to be done on behalf of the people that are the victims. So what can you do? A lot of these stories are already out there. They exist as part of our canon of pop culture. You can't necessarily escape them, but you can challenge them when you see them. And you can deliberately seek out books with strong female protagonists. Remember, the trope is just a shorthand way of understanding a situation that commonly occurs. It informs your understanding and in turn it informs the way the world is created into the future. So an antidote is to pull back the curtain, watch the puppet master, observe what happens behind the scenes, know that this is just one way, and sometimes it's a particularly lazy way. It's a really lazy way to drive it forward because it immediately resonates. You don't have to do anything sophisticated. The audience's heartstrings are primed to be tugged. And so for the men out there also, speaking deliberately here to the men who have likely been raised on these tropes, look to your own emotional development. It's in your hands. Don't presume that the culture you're devouring is not a part of that emotional development. It's the way we play out stories and experiment with stories. Seek out female creators, absorb their work, and observe the many roles that we all can play.
Well, I've got my angry feminism pants on for the morning, and I love it. I'm all over it. Do we have any idea what we're taking a look at next week?
Oh, we're totally going back to the Book of Ordinary People. it was an interesting... I've actually got some really nice books coming up for you, including a new one from Chrissy Neen, which is called Wintering, which explore strong female protagonists.
It's different from fridging.
It completely flips it. So I'm really excited to be bringing you the sorts of books that give us the opportunity to challenge some of these tropes.
Looking forward to it. Yeah. Thanks so much, Andrew.
See you next week, Tess.